Well, Merry Christmas again. I can't tell you just how happy we are that you've chosen to come this afternoon and celebrate this beautiful evening with us here. It's got to be one of my favorite times of the year, and this has got to be one of my favorite points of that time where we're all gathered singing the Christmas songs, and then we come to the point that we end in the candlelight. It's just a beautiful, beautiful afternoon and evening. So so grateful to have everybody here this evening, and a Merry Christmas to y'all. I even wore my best and only purple shirt tonight because it signifies the royalty of the king that was born. We are glad to celebrate that. Have you ever heard or seen a real miracle? A real miracle? Someone's sick and all of a sudden with no explanation they become well. Someone's close to financial ruin, and out of nowhere, along comes a job or a provision. I mean, that's a real miracle. Someone's in need of transportation, and out of the blue comes this deal comes their way, or a set of wheels comes their way, and they're taken care of. We have three different friends on three different occasions that needed a new set of transportation and didn't have the money for it, and vehicles were given to them three different times. That's a real miracle. What about when you hear about someone in an accident and you're told they'll never talk, they'll never walk again, but by a miracle, one day they do. Pretty amazing things. Now, I realize that it doesn't always turn out that way and that the miracles don't always happen the way that we want them to, but friends, we need to recognize that sometimes they do. Sometimes they do, and sometimes the miracle is real. For the past few weeks, we've been talking about unwrapping Christmas, and tonight we're going to talk about unwrapping the miracle of Christmas. And friends, Christmas is the miracle of all miracles, and it deserves our focus, but before we talk about this grand miracle, let's have a little fun with it. Let's first point out some not-so-serious Christmas miracles just for the fun. Can we do that? So here's my lighthearted top 10 list of Christmas miracles. Are you ready? Okay, number 10. Christmas is a miracle when Black Friday runs its course and no one gets hurt. That's a miracle. Number 9, Christmas is a miracle when you can get through the checkout line at Christmas season at Walmart in 30 minutes or less. I've seen the commercials where it says all aisles are open. I've not been in a Walmart yet where I've ever seen that to be the case. Number 8, Christmas is a miracle if you can string out the lights and get them on the Christmas tree and they all work, every strand, every bulb, and none of the strands are tangled. That's a Christmas miracle. Number 7, Christmas is a miracle when you get your Christmas cards out on time, not forgetting the one person who will never let you know that you forgot them. I finally solved that problem. I just don't send Christmas cards to anybody. That way, no one gets left out or everyone gets left out. It depends on how you see it, half full or half empty. I choose to say nobody gets forgotten that way. Number 6, Christmas is a miracle when there's a little less fruit and a whole lot more cake. Right? Number 5, Christmas is a miracle when the last minute gift that you ordered for your spouse from Amazon shows up in the UPS on Christmas Eve just in time for you to wrap it and get it under the tree. Number 4, Christmas is a miracle when the kids go home from the services tonight and it's bedtime and they go right to sleep without question, hassle, or anxiousness. Number 3, Christmas is a bigger miracle when the kids sleep all through the night into tomorrow morning after they've been to the 11 p.m. service and you've stayed up till 2 finishing that extra Christmas stuff you have to do, and they sleep in. Well, since it's Saturday and church is tomorrow morning, they sleep in just in time for church, and they wake up excited to go and wait to do the gifts later. That's a miracle, right? And you feel the same way. Number 2, Christmas is a miracle when you can get the kids' toys out of the packaging that they've been bound in and safely shipped from China, and you can unpack them in 20 minutes or less. And an even bigger miracle is if you make it through the day without one of them breaking. And then number one Christmas miracle is this. Finally, Christmas is a miracle when the pastor's Christmas Eve message is 10 minutes or less. That's not a miracle. That's just in your dreams, okay? Actually, it is a little shorter tonight than usual. And now that we've had a little fun, I want us to turn our eyes back to unwrapping the real miracle of Christmas. And I want us to do that by taking a couple minutes to try to go to the scene, into that moment, into that time where the miracle was born into this world. And as we prepare to do that, will you join with me in prayer? God, miracles still happen today. In a world where things are difficult, sometimes we forget to see them. Sometimes they're hard for us to get a glimpse at. But there's one miracle that happened a little over 2,000 years ago that is the miracle of all miracles, that brings us the hope, that takes us through every time, miracle or not. God, this miracle is the birth of Jesus, and we ask that you would take our minds there, our eyes, our senses, our hearts, that we can tap into that even for a moment tonight. Lead us, Lord, in Jesus' name we pray, amen. Understand that there was nothing, friends, haphazard about the events of that first Christmas. Nothing happened by accident or by coincidence. God had perfectly orchestrated it all, the time, the place, the audience. It was all very, very intentional. God knew that Caesar Augustus would issue a decree for a census to be taken of the entire Roman world. He knew that this census would take Joseph and Mary to Bethlehem just in time for the baby's birth, and that that would fulfill the prophecy that had been told hundreds of years before about him being born in Bethlehem. Yes, God had this miracle moment in history, well thought out, well orchestrated to happen just as he desired. I wonder if I can get you to go there with me, if we can kind of focus really in on that moment. It's nighttime. There's a little village on the outskirts of the city, and it's called Bethlehem. Now, zero in on that village like you're using an advanced version of, on the internet, of Google Earth. Anybody ever use Google Earth? You can pick out any location on the globe, and you can see views of that from satellite pictures on the Earth, and you can actually zoom in and get closer to portions of that, and sometimes you can even do a street view. I Google Earthed the church this week. I was able to go down and look onto the roof of the house and or of the church and on the property. And the last satellite pictures had been taken a little while ago, so the parking lot wasn't yet paved and the carport wasn't yet there. But still, I could zoom down onto the top of the church. I also Google Earthed Bethlehem as well. And it looked like in the pictures a bunch of buildings from the images I saw, or a city or neighborhoods. And obviously it looks much different today than it did then. But imagine that you can zoom and you do a zoom down to take a look back in time, right into that scene at that night in Bethlehem. Now, as you're zooming in, zoom into the stable that's in the side of a rocky area on a hillside. Are you beginning to picture it? Now zoom a little closer, like you're using an advanced version of Google Earth, where not only do you see images, but it also gives you the ability to have sight, sound, and smell. Zoom in through the doorway into a dimly lit stall with a single burning lamp. There are a few barnyard animals, and what's that you see? It's a young girl no older than 15 or 16. Now let your other senses go to work. Do you feel the chill of the nighttime air? Do you smell the smells of the stable and its various animals? It's not necessarily pleasant, but it's coverage from the night. And then in the doorway stands a young, soon-to-be father. Does he go in? Does he help? It's not the man's role in that time and in that culture for him to do so, to be helping in childbirth. And as a matter of fact, it goes against what they believe in the religion. It says he'll be ceremonially unclean if he does so. But does Joseph break the custom and attend to his young wife as she's delivering this child? Or does Mary do it utterly alone? We don't know. We do know that God is very much with her. Do you remember what the angel says to Mary when she told him that she'll give birth to God's son? In Luke chapter 1, verse 28, He says, the angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord is with you. So regardless of what Joseph does, we know that Mary actually isn't alone even for a moment, and that the angel who told Mary of this coming Messiah, Gabriel, he most likely is there as well, ready to celebrate Christ's birth. And there's no telling how many angels are present when the king is ushered into the world. In this scene and in this place and in this moment, the miracle of all miracles happens. God's very own Son, Jesus Christ, who is God himself, leaves his throne in heaven and enters our world through the portal of a stable. This stable is the portal for his entry point into this world. Now imagine the Spirit of God coming down on that place and that moment, and the glory of the Lord all around wrapped up in this one baby. His throne will be a feeding trough. His royal garments will be a blanket which swaddles him, likely taken from the back of some barnyard animal. His audience will only be the animals and eventually a brood of dirty shepherds who have no idea of who or what it is they're really witnessing. We can only imagine what the scene of this moment looked like. At our house, we have three different nativity sets. One sits above the doorway as you come in our house. And the parsonage is this shelf that's kind of above the doorway. Above that is like a big arch window. And perhaps if you've driven by it at night, you've seen the chandelier that lights behind that window. But that shelf is just a perfect place. It's crying for a nativity scene. So that goes above that shelf. And in that space, we place our most ornate of the nativities that we have. The figurines were made by Caroline's grandmother as a wedding gift to us, and they're all white. The stable was made for the scene was made by my dad and my brother. And we have the whole scene kind of spread out across that shelf, and it's lit with some green garland and white Christmas light to illuminate it. In our dining room, at our china cabinet, is our second nativity. It's special to me because it belonged to my great aunt and uncle, who were more like an aunt and uncle to me. They were never able to have kids, so they were like a mom and dad to my parents, and then at times like mom and dad to me and my siblings and my cousins. At least my great aunt, my uncle, died early. My great aunt is still living, and she's in a nursing home in my hometown of Piqua at the age 95 or 96. The figurines are nothing special in this nativity. And I think that it's actually a mixture of a couple different sets that she'd put together. It would likely hold little value to anyone else, but the stable was actually made for my great uncle. He died in 1978, and it's got great detail in it. It's got actually shingles on the roof, each individually made, that are on top of the stable. This nativity seems colorful, and it's illuminated by a single light within the stable. Then there's this third set that we have that I want to focus on tonight. It's set up in our basement where our kids hang out. It's another set that came from my great aunt when I first moved out of the house before I knew Caroline. It was the first thing that one of the first Christmas decorations I had as a single guy out on his own. And it was actually important because as siblings, it's the one we got to play with. On Christmas, she'd get it out and we could actually use the pieces and play with them. There's nothing ornate or special about it, but it has great memories attached. And this is the one I want to focus on tonight, because this year I was setting up the other two nativity scenes, and I handed this lesser nativity scene to one of my children. And I said, do you want to take this downstairs and set it up? You can set it up however you want to. Set it up on the bookshelf. And her response was, yes, I can do that. A little later, after it was done, I went down in the basement to do something, and I was caught by this nativity scene that my child had set up. And it's set up different than what I'm used to seeing. For one, my child put both Mary and Joseph side by side on one side of the feeding trough where Jesus is laying there. They're right next to one another. I'm used to seeing Mary on one side and Joseph on the other side as it's set up to you would expect it to be, but not really. I looked at what my child had done, and I thought, well, duh, of course it was probably just like that. Mary just gave birth. They just did this long trip, and it's the middle of the night, and she gave birth, and now they're looking at this baby who they need to love and they need to raise, who they've been given in this position to pour into this miracle of miracles. Of course, they're right next to each other, holding one another, looking at this miracle before them. And then I was struck by the way that my child set this up. All the other characters, all the other figures in the scene are right in the doorway or inside the entrance. The shepherds, the sheep, the camels, the animals, all right there inside the entrance of the stable. I'm used to seeing it all spread across in line, turned out so we can see all of them, almost like they're lined up for a Christmas family photo, you know? That's usually what we see. But you know what? I believe my child got this right as well. Of course, they would have been crowding right in that door. The baby is the whole reason why they were there. This miracle of this newborn king was what they journeyed from the field to come in for. Of course, they were doing all they could to get close enough just to see this king that was born, this Messiah. The shepherds were just told of the angel, by the angel that a Savior was born. They're not just going to mosey up and hang around outside of the stable. They're going to do everything they can do to get right in there, to get right inside, to get up and close, to see this miracle. So I can just imagine a crowd of shepherds coming into the stable, gathering around, who knows how many, trying to get close up and personal to see. And friends, I want you to think this through. What happens when a group of people crowd into a small space? We've had several large gatherings in our homes over the years. And you know, when you're going to have 30 or 40 people milling around your house before they come, I always turn the thermostat way down if it's the winter, because I know it's going to get really warm. And listen, friends, what is it that a new baby needs in a chilly night in a stable? Warmth. Warmth. The bodies of these shepherds, as smelly as they may have been, gathered in that stable and provided the warmth that this child needed. They provided the warmth that was needed to comfort a king. God was all in the details. God had it all planned out. God knew exactly who needed to be there and when they needed to be there and how they needed to be there when this miracle of all miracles happened. God is never haphazard. He orchestrated it all to happen in the moment of his son entering into this world. In the moment of that birth comes the miracle. Come to Bethlehem and see Christ, whose birth the angels sing. Come adore on bended knee Christ the Lord, the newborn king. See him in the manger laid, whom the choirs of angels praise. Mary, Joseph, lend your aid, while all our hearts in love we raise. Friends, it's the miracle of all miracles. And in that moment, the moment of Christ's birth, in that lowly place comes the God of all the universe, the majesty, all in this baby that will change everything. Change everything, absolutely everything. Do you understand that before this moment, you and I have no hope? No hope at all. Our sins have blackened our hearts, and we're utterly hopeless to stand before God. But after this moment, after Christmas is unwrapped in this miracle, it all changes. The Son of God has come before you as your and my sacrifice. You see, the real miracle for you and me isn't the Savior being born some 2,000 years ago. That's not really why we celebrate. The real miracle of Christmas for you and for me is that the Savior has been born right here, or can be born right here into our hearts. Your heart and my heart aren't much different from that dingy, stinky old stable, are they? Our hearts are dark. They don't smell so good. They're cold. They're distant. But when Jesus comes in to reside in them, it's nothing short of a miracle. The miracle of Christmas doesn't only come in the moment of Jesus' being born in that stable. It comes the moment that you and I acknowledge that we're utterly lost without him in our hearts and in our lives. And when we say, Jesus Christ, the one who came to die for my sins, forgive me and be born in my heart today. Friends, when that happens, it is a holy moment, as holy as the moment when Jesus was born on that Christmas night. And it's the reason why Jesus came. Perhaps one of the reasons that God decided to send his son to this earth through such a lowly, humble manner and place and way is because that's the same condition that our hearts need to be in for him to be born there. Have you humbled your heart to say, Jesus, I want you to be born right here? Because that's when you truly unwrap Christmas. That's when the miracle of your Christmas comes and my Christmas comes, that we've invited Jesus Christ in. And as we leave this place and we celebrate this Christmas tonight and tomorrow, if we're to celebrate it well, our celebrating has to include unwrapping the miracle of Christmas, that he's been born into my life and into yours. So friends, use this night, use the Christmas day tomorrow to tell those that you know and love about your unwrapping of the miracle of Christmas, of Jesus forgiving your sins, and about his place in your heart. You've not celebrated Christmas, Christ's Mass, if you've not celebrated and unwrapped the miracle of his birth in you. Let's pray together. God, it is the miracle of miracles that Jesus was born, that you were born into this world as a baby. But the greater miracle is the why, that you did it for us, and that through the birth of Jesus, through his death and resurrection, he's born into our hearts when we receive him, when we receive you, God. And Lord, in this place with friends and family tonight and guests and regular attenders and all that's here in this room, as we unwrap Christmas and unwrap its miracle, if there's any that would say, Jesus, I need you in my heart today, to be born in my heart today, to have that miracle, they simply may say to you, Jesus, come today. Be born in my heart. Forgive my sins. Make your residence here. And make this Christmas a miracle for me. In the name of Jesus we pray, amen. Friends, the miracle of Christ continues to be unwrapped as we unwrap the covering of the bread and the cup broken and shed for us. Jesus, who came as a baby, grew to be a man so that his body could be broken for you and for me. And this is your Christmas gift, that you could receive him into your heart. His blood shed for you and for me, that as we take and eat and drink, we remember what Christmas is really about, the Savior coming to the world. We're going to celebrate communion tonight through what we call intinction. That means you tear a piece of this bread off and you dip it into the juice and you take and you eat. You don't have to be a member of this church or any church to join us. If you're seeking to follow Christ, you are so welcome to be a part. The table is open for you. We'll have two stations, one over here at this rug and one over here at this one with servers. If you are in the center section, you can go either direction up the aisle. You'll go all the way to the outside aisle and come back up the center aisles to return to your seat. If you're sitting on the side sections, you'll come up the center aisle and return to the outside aisle to your seat. I want to invite those who are serving to come forward. Friends, look around you. It's a miracle. One man came to be born and to die that we could have new life. Look at the fire burning around you. Each flame represents a life and the life of Christ in us. It's a miracle. The miracle of all miracles unwrapped before us. In the mighty name of Jesus, Merry Christmas. Have a blessed Christmas tomorrow and as you celebrate tonight. Merry Christmas.